a better way. You don't have to be another face in the crowd.
And we are live. Welcome, folks, to a brand new week. It is Monday, October the 21st, which means we're 10 days away from Halloween. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. But in a way, we are going to talk about how some people play make-believe, which is what Halloween's really all about, is playing dressing up as ghouls and goblins or, you know, some sort of like being a soldier or some other profession or whatever you come up with in your mind, whether it's as a kid or as an adult kid going to a bar or something. That's what Halloween's all about, make-believe. And sometimes make-believe's great. Sometimes make-believe is useful in determining reality, and sometimes make-believe is an escape from responsibility to the point where we allow make-believe to prevent us from taking real action. I don't want that for this community. I want this community to, like, if you're not working on something, I want you to know you're not. It's okay. We don't have to work 24/7. There's time for recreation. There's time for screwing off. There's time for fantasy, sci-fi, whatever. There's even time, though I pick on some of you younger people about it all the time, there's even time for freaking video games once in a while. What there isn't time for is the belief that somehow we're advancing ourselves and our goals and our agendas for ourselves, our community, the world, when we're not really doing anything. So we hear a term all the time, parallel society. We also hear parallel economy. So my question for you today is, can we really create a parallel society? And I don't even think we need to like define society versus economy. All societies have some form of economy, or you don't have a society. Can we really do it? Or are we kidding ourselves? Well, as you might imagine, if I'm going to answer that question, well, the answer is, what are the two words I'm going to use, guys? Does anybody say it there in the live chat before I say it? Can we really create a parallel society? And Jack Spirko would say, nobody. Come on, you know my answer. It depends. It depends. I don't know how long the delay is between me talking and you get there's Neil says it depends. Mike, okay, there they are. It depends. It depends. It depends. And then KTG says depends. No, those are adult undergarments. You need the it. Or you're not clear is what you're talking about. Anyway, yeah, it depends. And today we're going to talk about what it depends on. It depends on what we mean. What the hell does that mean? See, I think it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It depends on how much work we're willing to do. It depends on how many other people. It also depends on something called a network effect. But we're going to talk about all that today. Before we do so, let us go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor day number one today is JM Bullion. Look, silver and gold have been used as money for about as long as humans have known what silver and gold are and been able to figure out what to do with it. It does have that long of a history, and it has an intrinsic value, and it trades openly in our society, and it's all the same stuff, and that's what makes it useful as an investment strategy. I actually don't even really look at it as an investment. I look at it more as a wealth assurance policy. By taking about 5% of your net worth and holding silver and or gold or even other precious metals like platinum as part of that, you have a grounded component to your wealth plan. And my hope is that most of you will accumulate that wealth and never use it, and it will go very anonymously to your heirs someday. But when you're buying silver and gold, since it is all the same, as long as you're not getting ripped off with some counterfeit bullshit, if it's all the same, why would you pay even 25 cents more for a silver eagle? You know, a current year 2024 silver eagle, why would you pay any more for it? There's no reason to. So you want to go to the people that sell it for the best price, and that's JM Bullion. You want to go to the people that support the show that you like, that's JM Bullion. You want to go to the place where they ship all your orders for free, that is JM Bullion. You want to go to the place that gives you a discount if you're an MSB member here at the Survival Podcast, that's JM Bullion. The real question is, why would you go anywhere else? I don't. Whenever I want to stack silver and or gold, I go to JM Bullion, and you should too. Next up today, Start 9 Sovereign Computing. We're going to talk a little bit about this component of this parallel society thing today. We want to be able to communicate with other people in our communities, our families, etc. And we want to be able to do it completely privately because we have a right to that privacy. Well, with Start 9, you can really do that. You have a double layer of security with Start 9 just on the instant messaging capabilities on a Start 9 embassy box. here's what I mean by that. First, to be able to decrypt somebody's communications, you have to be able to find it. And there's a certain level of obscurity that just exists when you're running your own server and you're handling everything yourself in between your user base. Then you got to break the encryption, which is, you know, military grade, unbreakable encryption on top of it. And that's just the messaging. How about being able to access your data from anywhere in the world, encrypted privately with nobody that can ever take away your access to your data because you're not dumb and using the cloud that's not really up there somewhere. No, the cloud's not up there. The cloud is in a server at Amazon or Google or whoever's, you know, running your service that you're using. So get on Start 9 today. I promise you, it might sound really complicated, but if you have the ability, folks, if you just simply have the ability to install and use apps on a smartphone, I promise you, you can learn all about using Start 9 relatively easy. And if you want to get more advanced, you can run a Bitcoin node, a Lightning node, act as your own payment processor with BTC Pay Server. It's really great. Check them out. And 9% off for MSP members. And if you stack that because you're a Fold card user with a gift card for Start 9, you can get 18% off. So that's a pretty damn good deal. All right, let's go. And Builder of Castles is filling in today with beating people up for not hitting the like button. 84 watching, 5 likes. What's up with that, guys? Get on it. And I'll do the best I can today, as always, while I'm by myself, to keep up with the live chat. But it's a lot harder when I'm alone. So make sure you put the word question in all caps or comment in all caps at the beginning, and maybe I'll see out of my one good eye and start, and we can do it at the end. But today we're just going to kind of chat about this. So again, what I'm trying to do is get us off of the concept of what I call mental or intellectual masturbation and onto real brass tacks, things that we can actually do. Because I hear people throw this term parallel economy around or parallel society around all the time. And usually it's somebody like, and I'm not putting down anybody here with some of the stuff I'm about to say. And by the way, I apologize for this little point on the top of my head here with my hair not behaving. I keep my hair really short now. Once it grows back a certain level, it's almost impossible to do anything with it. My haircut girl is on maternity leave, dang it. I might have to step out on her and get somebody else to take care of my hair if she ain't back by next week. Anyway, when people throw this term around, a lot of times it's somebody that's like selling elderberry syrup or comfrey salve or something like that. And look, I want people, anything that you can build a side hustle on and create community with, I want you doing it. So I'm not putting those things down. I'm just saying that, you know, how many people inside one network can create comfrey salve and generate an actual economy off that? Economies have to be diverse. The whole reason we have economies is because not everybody does everything. So somebody can be the person that makes the comfrey salve or the elderberry syrup or both. Somebody can be the person that takes the elderberries and turns them into wine. Somebody can be the person that grows, you know, I honestly think there'd be, if you have enough rabbit people around you, there's probably a pretty good business in growing custom pasture mix for rabbits and making mini straw bales or hay bales, little mini hay bales for other people that have rabbits that don't have time to do that. You know, mixing in things like tree fodder and clovers and stuff like that to make something better than they can buy. And you could probably sell it for less than they would pay if they go down the store. Now, the people that are raising rabbits in big rabbit trees probably have another solution. But the people that have 2 or 3 rabbits and then maybe grow out some bunnies or just keep a couple for pets, that's a niche. But it's still limited. And this is where we kind of have to start being honest with ourselves about this concept of parallel societies and economies. I think there's two ways that people view this, and one way is doable and can grow long-term, and the other way is a complete fantasy, okay? Now, here's what I mean. Here's what I mean by that. Some people think that a parallel society or parallel economy is a completely isolationist thing. And by parallel, simply, we mean that we don't need to get rid of their economy and their society to have our own. So that we're kind of, it'd be kind of like being like the Amish, right? And the Amish are actually a great case for this because even though they are very isolationist in some ways, they sure make most of their money selling stuff to people that aren't Amish, don't they? I mean, people buy Amish furniture. They buy Amish milk. They buy Amish beef, right? They hire Amish people to do work for them. They take wood to be milled at Amish mills. See, the Amish are actually much closer to what I see as a parallel society than I think the way most people have this vision in their head. I think that most people think that what a parallel society means is that we will have so many people participating that we literally need nothing from anybody other than our own people. And that means we can just kind of flip a switch and go, we don't really participate in mainstream society at all anymore. And I'll just ask you, when do you think we're going to have the parallel society high-speed internet service available in most of the country or most of the world? Probably not anytime soon. When do you think, like, do you want a car? Electric or gas? Which car right now is made outside of mainstream and made in a parallel economy? I mean, the closest thing to somebody that owns a car manufacturing service that you have to a true libertarian ain't a true libertarian, and it would be Tesla and Elon Musk. And that dude is so far, he's just so much closer than everybody else, but he's still a million miles out. He's a centrist Democrat is what he really is. Right? I mean, it amazes me sometimes when people seem all upset or all angry at Elon because he says something that sounds kind of statist. What did you expect? What did you expect? That's who he is. You can be better and still not all the way out on our end. So I would ask most people that are in my live stream, where'd your food come from you ate last night? Now, I know some of you grew your own food good. I know that some of you maybe, you know, you're like me. You buy beef from a guy a mile down the road, right? But he's not in the parallel society that we're talking about. He'll sell it anyway. He doesn't give a shit. He's not like, well, Jack, before I sell to you, are you an anarchist or a libertarian that lives outside? No, he doesn't give a shit. Is your money green? That's his only question, right? That's his only question. Do you have the money, and are you willing to do business with me on my terms in the way that I have to do business because of state regulation and bullshit? He is pretty good at statist jiu-jitsu, though. He's worked out the loophole. I take the cow to the processor. You fill out the cut sheet and pay the processor. It's your cow, not mine. You're splitting with somebody else. The two of you own the cow. I sold it to you right when it went to the place. I'm just your delivery man. And that is parallel. But that ain't why he's doing it. He's not doing it so that he can say, look at me. I'm parallel economy, Steve. No, he's doing it because he wants to sell his cattle direct to consumer because it makes him more money that way. That's the only reason he's doing it. He's a good dude. He is probably more liberty-oriented than most people from what I know of him, but I don't even know him that well. He does not care who I am. I am no different to him than any other customer he has. I had somebody ask me 1 year if I could get them in with him, and when I talked to him, he's like, I've got all my shit sold. The only reason you get a chance is because you're on the list. And if you don't buy, then you go off the list. Right? So I don't have any pull or any clout with it. He doesn't care that I'm Jack Spirky. He doesn't care that I do a podcast. I don't even know if he knows. So is that parallel economy? See, I think what parallel economy means to people that are actively participating in trying to build one, or parallel society means, is that what we really want is just to be left the fuck alone in certain areas. What we want to be able to do is participate. And where we participate, we're more than happy to follow the rules of participation as long as we're voluntarily participating. We'll even pay the fucking tax. So, like, as much as we give people shit for the whole Morodes objection, it's because the objection's stupid, isn't it? When you say something about we don't need government and they say, but we will build the roads, who will build the schools? The problem with the objection is twofold. Number one, let's not say we just said we didn't need government. Let's say we said we don't need an income tax. That would be a better one for roads and schools. Because the same person, if you said you didn't need government, if you said we don't need an income tax, would tell you the same stupid objection. But who would build the roads? Who would build the schools? Well, the income tax doesn't pay for one fucking square inch of road. and the income tax doesn't pay for jack shit in the education system, except for expenses incurred based on federal mandates that are then fulfilled through Department of Education. In other words, if the federal mandate wasn't there, even that $55 billion that gets spread out against the states wouldn't be necessary, because it's all to comply with – that's where the Department of Ed money goes. And it ain't like they give it all out. Like, they piss away about 80% of it, and about 20% of it gets distributed to the states so that they'll comply with the mandates that come from the federal Department of Education. What pays for the roads? Motor fuels taxes and state fees. What pays for the schools? Property taxes. So when you tell somebody we don't need an income tax and they say my roads and my schools, they actually make a very good point toward what I'm saying. They're wrong. But do you get upset about paying a gas tax in the context of, by paying a gas tax, I get to use the road? And I don't need to pay for the tax unless I'm using the road. In other words, I don't buy gas and then dump it out on the ground. I don't buy like 20 gallons of gas and drink a cup of it a day. I put it in the car, and if I'm going somewhere and burning it, that's when I'm paying the gas tax. Is it too high? We could argue that. Do they fuck it up and they don't do a good job with it? We can agree. I think we all would agree that's the case. But in the end, it's a usage fee. And I think that most people that want this parallel society, they kind of like that idea of a usage fee. If the usage fee only applies when I actually use something and only what I use. See what I mean? So if all this stuff about you didn't build that, remember Obama, you didn't build that. If I only paid for the services from the government that I use, I would still be unhappy, but I'd be a lot happier. And what parallel society really means is trying to create a carve out where we can live as close to that as possible, because unless you want to like run away to Mexico and never pay tax again and do all your business in cash and Bitcoin, you're probably going to pay some taxes. If you want to have, and part of it would be, do you want access to things? In our parallel society, do we have a system whereby a young couple who want to buy their first house can show up and say, we don't even just have the stupid 3%. We've got 10% or 20% down on this house. We would like to borrow the rest of the money and pay it back over a 15 to 30 year mortgage. Does that parallel system exist? It doesn't. And the person who lives in the fantasy world will say, but someday it will. Doesn't even matter if you're right. What are you doing to make that happen? And the odds are the person saying that is doing absolutely nothing to make that happen. And it'd be very difficult to do, because you have a whole litany of regulations and rules inside the mortgage industry that's designed to make sure that that system is very difficult to come up with. I think we will do things. I think having things like Bitcoin as collateral in that world will open up some opportunities and what have you. But in the end, that doesn't exist. So if you want access to a mortgage, you have to have reported income so that a bank will give you a loan because you prove that you can pay the money back. And I don't think most of us are purists to the point of, unless I can have everything completely compartmentalized in my own little world, I'm not happy. I think we're all just trying to do better. And that's how I think this can actually work, because I think it's unlikely that any society that wants modern convenience will ever completely sever from, quote unquote, the mainstream, right? The mainstream. What does that mean? Do you want high-speed internet access? Whether it's Spectrum, cable modem service, or Starlink, or whatever, that's all mainstream. What car do you drive? A Toyota, a Chevy, a Ford, a Tesla, right? What do you... I bet you have a car or a truck or multiples. Who finances the mortgage on your home? A bank. And I don't think we're anywhere close to being able to say we don't need any of that shit anymore. Now, could we do it much faster than is possible right now if they weren't in the way? I believe that's absolutely the case. And I also believe a lot of people would get hurt along the way and scammed and screwed, because people have become conditioned that if it has a logo on a sign and says you know, open for business, that it's safe because the government's created that illusion. So I think we need to look at what we can do. And we have to ask, what is it that we really want freedom in that we don't already have? What are the places in our lives? And I'm going to stall here a little bit. Give me like one or two word answers to this. Where do you want freedom right now that you don't have as much freedom as you would like to have? And some people will say everything. And I understand your point. I get it. But I want you to be a little more specific. I would say I'll give you one and that, see if that primes the pump for you to give me more. A simple answer would be I want medical freedom, right? Medical freedom to take the drugs I want and not take the drugs that I don't want. You know, I don't want to be held into something tight, right? Selling manufactured good. Freedom of time, Tom says. That's something you create. Food freedom. That's on my list. Food freedom is on the list. Food comes in from Aaron. Keep it coming, folks. Let's see how many of my things that are already on the list that you guys get. Speech. Okay, yeah. I have communication, and you'll see why when we get to it, but speech fits in communication. Anything else, guys, before we move on? What do we really want freedom in that's currently impinged? And this is what I would tell anybody. If you say you want more freedom of speech, and to you, freedom of speech includes social media. If you don't use social media, then everything else I'm about to say, freedom of butchering, freedom of raising animals, freedom of food, freedom where they travel to work, okay? Yep. Just reading off the things coming in. But if you want freedom of speech, and you, that includes social media, and you're on Facebook, and you're not also on something like Noster or some other alternative means of doing that, then are you doing everything you can with what's available to you right now to have as much freedom as possible? The answer is clearly no. If you say you want freedom of your food, but you still buy the cheapest food and the most packed, you know, processed packaged food possible, and you could be doing better and you're not, are you really doing everything you can? Right? What is it that you want freedom in, and what can be done about it? So let's break some of those down. One of the things I want is economic freedom. I want to not worry that if I say something or do something or buy something a certain way, that someone's going to shut off my access to my money. That's a big one for me. I want to be able to know that what I have in my wealth is mine, that I actually own it, that it's not I'm being allowed to have it as long as I'm a good boy. And so when I look at the totality of my wealth, I can tell you that I'm not 100% in the world of parallel economy or parallel society with wealth. I have stocks, right? I have ETFs. I don't have a 401k because I don't have a job, but I have an IRA. My wife has an IRA. All of that in multiple ways is not mine. It's mine, but it's also not mine. It's not mine because it could be seized. I could be sued and somebody could put a freeze on it and try to take those assets from me to a degree. There are certain protections with retirement. They don't apply to government. The money in the bank is not money, nor is it yours. It's a credit in a credit system controlled by a third party that will do whatever it wants, and there's not much recourse that you have. So what's the solution for economic freedom? I'm gonna say something I almost never say anymore. Bitcoin and or crypto. I am pretty much a purist on Bitcoin at this point. I think that everything else is just basically a game and a gambling casino. I think that if you're gonna have a money and you're gonna use the best form of money, that the best form of money wins, i.e. Gresham's law, and that's Bitcoin. And that's Bitcoin. Is it perfect? No, because if I use it, especially in certain ways, I need to record gains on it and pay taxes on it. But there's a lot of gaming of that system where I can actually create realized losses but only have unrealized gains. But the big issue is if I have a stack of Bitcoin and somebody seizes my – I still have something. I still have a significant portion of my wealth preserved. Silver and gold would fit in there as well. It's mine. It's physical cash to a degree for now. I think that if we have cash in 15 years, I will be plumb shocked if it exists at all. My guess is it'll probably exist for a time, but they'll stop making more of it and they'll slowly attrit it. And eventually they'll say you have to turn it in and convert it to bank credits. They'll get rid of it in time. For now, though, we have cash. And that's basically what we have for a private economy. And I know you say, but cash is their money. But yes, it is. But it's also something you actually possess. I would actually say, and some people are going to gasp when I say this, you have more of a physical claim on cash in your hand than you have Bitcoin in the blockchain. You don't own any Bitcoin. You own the keys to access a specific group of Satoshis that are on the blockchain. But all the Bitcoin's on the blockchain. You don't have any Bitcoin in your wallet at all. It's not a Bitcoin breakout episode. We're not going to stick on this one too long. If that bends your mind a bit, you need to think about it. It'll start to make sense. Where is your Bitcoin? You don't have Bitcoin. You have a signing device. That's all a wallet. It's a wallet is a terrible name. Because wallets have things inside them. There's nothing in your wallet. You just have numbers that allow you to access and sign transactions on a blockchain. That's it. So I think both of them have a place, as does silver and gold, and as does other forms of exchangeable wealth. If you have things that are especially durable things that have value that could be sold in the future or bartered in the future, those are forms of pure ownership economy. We don't have much of that. We really don't. But that's if you're not doing that and you're not doing something out of that group of things or some other thing I missed and you're bitching about your economic freedom, I don't believe you. I don't believe that it's really important to you because you have tools available. I don't like Bitcoin. You're trusting your wealth to a light switch. Okay, you're mentally incompetent about how technology works. I get that. So why don't you have cash? Because they pay, well, gold and silver. How much gold and silver? You have none. Or like they have like $5 worth or something. Like if you're not doing something to ensure that you have the ability to transact with other individuals, if they shut that light switch you're so worried about off, then I don't believe that you really want freedom there because you have actions you could take and you're not doing it. And this is if we're ever going to get this off the ground. It has to stop being an idea, and it has to be something we do. Next, food freedom. That was probably the number one thing when I asked for people what they wanted. No matter what they said, you know, some were very specific and said raw milk, and some just said food. But that is food freedom and everything in it, what you grow, what you eat, what you produce, who you trade it with, where you get it from, all of it is about one thing, and that's food freedom. And we have options there. I mean, we've talked recently quite a bit about things like food churches and private membership associations, and those are a viable alternative. I don't know that they work for everybody just yet. I'm going to save some of my thoughts on those for a little bit further along today because I want to talk to you about a conversation that I had with Alan Booker last week about this very subject. He's a brilliant man. If you don't know who Alan is, he's a plant geneticist, and he is deeply involved with like breeding land races and things like that. And I knew he was great at that. I did not know he was one of us so much. Liberty mindset and things like this. But we'll talk about that deeper. But that's an option. But what's your number one option for food freedom? I don't care where you live, and if all you have is a balcony, do you have an herb garden in a pot? No, then you don't care about food freedom. I'm sorry, you don't. Right? And if you have like a small backyard and you don't have a little garden or something back there or a little flock of four chickens or something, if you don't have some piece of this in place for yourself, or if you're not at least then, I don't want to do it. I completely understand. And my God, you need to understand, folks, we need people who don't want to do it with it being 1,000 different things to make a broad enough economy with a broad enough network effect for it to function. But then you need to be like, okay, I need to find somebody, and I bet you're no further than Nextdoor or Craigslist away or Facebook Marketplace. I'm going to buy my eggs from a backyard producer. Even if it's not the best, I guarantee it's better than what's at Walmart. And it won't cost that much more. And eggs last a long time. If you talk to your producer and say, I need to make sure I'm getting the freshest eggs from you because I'm going to buy a month's worth at a time. That's not even a strain. for eggs will last a freaking month in a refrigerator. We have people, every time they come, they buy six dozen because they only want to come about every 45 days. We tell people 6 weeks, as long as they're refrigerated, no problem, especially if they're not washed and they still have the blem on them. And there's other ways to make eggs last longer, but if you're not at least doing that, have you even checked to see if there is somebody near you that you could be buying a half or a quarter beef from? And I'm not saying you have to do all these things. I mean, you're doing none of them. Do you really mean it when you say you want food freedom? Have you checked to see if there's any sort of a food club or food church around you could be doing business with, or a co-op that you could be doing business with? Have you asked your neighbor if they would be interested in some sort of exchange? I'll grow this, you grow that. My yard's small, right? You know, how many fruit trees could we plant if everybody that says they cared about this was willing to buy two trees for their property and eight more trees for various neighbors under the understanding that we exchange product from the trees? Have you done that? And again, you don't have to do any one of these things. If you're like, well, I haven't done any of this shit, but I've done this and it fits, I'm not coming down on you then. I'm telling you, though, the person says they want food freedom and they haven't done anything when there's things that could be done. How are we going to get to a parallel society? How are we going to get to a parallel economy if you won't use the tools that are sitting there in front of you right now? How about what we do with our own land? What we do with our own land? Probably the number one complaint that I get from people that isn't about me and my show, because I get probably more of those than anything else. But I mean about them, they, the government, the state, et cetera, is restrictions of what they can do on their own property. I want to want chickens, Jack, but they won't let me. Okay. Well, there's a lot of different things you can do there, isn't there? Sometimes you stop asking permission and you just do. And sometimes, you know, that's not really a good idea. If you live in a full-on blue hair Karen HOA where they actually walk around and check and people can see into your yard, you probably shouldn't do it. What's the number one thing you can do if you care about land use freedom? And I know this is very hard for people that already made the mistake of not doing it, but it's where you buy your property. It's where you buy and under what conditions you buy. And I can't say I always understood this, but the more I shop for land, the more I figured it out when I'd be like, well, I want to be able to do this. Well, you'll have to go to the council and ask, what, you mean like the town council? No, the council for the HOA. Oh, no. I don't even want to look at this, right? So if you intentionally buy property where you know you have restrictions on the property and then bitch about it, I only have a limited amount of sympathy for you. Now, personally, I think when you buy property, it's yours. And unless you can demonstrate true harm as a neighbor, you should have no say in it. Right? So, I mean, like, I can see a person saying, you know, this guy put a giant sign on his garage door that says, my neighbor's a dick with an arrow pointed at my house while I'm trying to sell my house. I can see recourse being taken, even under, like, common law outside of the state systems we have today, traditional common law. I can see that. That would be clearly there's damage. But if it's, well, he has a garden. Some people may not like that. Tough shit. It's his property. But where we buy land. So there are so many people who do buy land exactly with the restrictions that prevent them from doing what they're going to want to do. And then when they want to do it, they act like they're a victim. There was a guy, I believe it was in Washington, it was either Washington or Oregon, and one of my favorite yellow journalists, a little scab known as Mike Adams over at Natural News, wrote a story on it. Said, it was Washington. Washington, no, it was Oregon. Oregon bans permaculture. That was the headline. I'm like, that is the last straw with this asshole. I'm done, because I knew the story. And the story was this. The land had water use restrictions that were in place when the guy bought it. These were federal restrictions that he had to sign a piece of paper when he bought the property that said, I completely understand these restrictions exist. This is not my moral judgment on whether those restrictions should exist. But I'm telling you, if you do that, I don't give a fuck when you tell me I got fined for putting a pond in. No shit, Sherlock. Why did you buy that piece of land knowing you had that restriction and knowing you wanted to do that thing? There's a good question here, and I'm going to hit it because it fits instead of waiting until the end. Frankie Too Sweet says, how do you know whether your property has no building codes? You need to know before you buy it. If you already bought it, you need to find out. Now, there's certain things you shouldn't do, though, in my opinion. You should never ask permission to do something because that immediately infers that you don't have the right to. But the question would be, what restrictions are there on this property from the state, you know, and from the local government? And are there any federal restrictions on this property? What are they? How, you know, can I build additional houses? Are there any water restrictions? You need to know what those restrictions are. That way you can make a fully informed decision. And I know this is hard to accept in our modern world, but you're a grown-ass man or woman. You're supposed to understand that you need to make fully informed decisions. You're not supposed to need some redneck duck farmer to tell you that you do. But apparently some people do. So the number one thing we can do for our land freedom is smart buying choices. That's the most important thing we can start doing. And I know that's hard. And I know that reduces the properties that are available. And man, do I want to see more people do more things to make that easier. I want to see more developments that are sustainable developments on paper because that plays well. But what they really are is protective developments in reality, protective of the landowner. We need to start literally building property systems with an understanding of, like, there are no restrictions here. That's the only restriction. The only restriction is you don't get to bitch about anything that's not already in place. Right? And this would, you can't do that, but you bought a place with a giant catchment under federal regulation says you can't retain the water. That would be a bad buying decision. Should they be able to do that? No. Because I know I'm a special people emailing me with angry, you can hear the keyboard clacking when you read the email. I get at least three or four of those a day, folks. So you're supposed to be an anarchist. Shut up. I'm not saying they should be able to. I'm saying they can. When a guy puts a gun in your fucking face and says, give me your wallet or I'm going to blow your fucking brains out, you're probably going to give him your wallet. No, me, I'm a bat. Now you're dead. Right? So you understand that when it's that blatant. When that gun's in your face and the guy's smart enough to be just far enough away from your hands where you can't reach him, and if you move, he's going to pull the trigger and put a hole in your head, you understand right then you're not going to win a conflict with a wireless hole puncher at 3 yards. But you think you're going to go up against the state. You're not. Not in that clear cut of a situation. What I'm saying, though, is we make the right buying decision as developers, and we need belts around these things. You can't even see inside. Somebody drives by, all they see is a bunch of trees and fucking bushes, and the main road that goes into that thing needs to go about 3 S-turns before it opens up into community, whatever that is to you. And this is why. It's not to hide anything. It's just people bitch about what they can see. And when people can't see things, they don't bitch. And a gated community? Is an acceptable thing, even to yuppies and Karens. Can I go in? No. Do you know somebody here that has you on the visitor list? No. Okay. No, Karen, bye. Bye. Police want in? Do you have a warrant? No, this is private property. Get the fuck out of here. But it ain't as easy as I'm making it sound, is it? Where's all that money come from to do these developments? It's difficult. So what we can do as individuals is the same thing, though. We need to make good buying decisions. And I think we need to make a consorted effort that when we find an area that fits this, how many of us can we move in? Instead of developing communities, maybe we just need to take them over. People sell houses. People die and kids don't want them. There's a lot of places like this out there. A lot of places like this out there. What about our ability to communicate? That's what people called it here, speech. I want freedom of speech. Why don't you have freedom of speech? Who's preventing your freedom of speech right now? Is there anything you really can't say or do other than like threatening to kill somebody or something like that that most people would be like, yeah, that's not okay anyway? Well, who is impinging freedom of speech in this country right now? Well, the media is. We know that. That is the most gate-kept freaking entity left in the world is mainstream media. You don't get on Fox News without being vetted by five different people entirely, even if it's a person that you know is on your side, even if it's a Ron Paul. There's a very tight net around what that person's going to be asked to talk about. And tell me you haven't seen at least one or two broadcasts where the guest was saying something that you know they didn't want them to say, and, oh, we're out of time. Oh, look, the president's speaking. I just cut them off, and we'll get back to you, and they're never back. Have you never seen someone just cut off? Oh, wait, didn't that just happen? Didn't that just happen with the debate with Joe Biden and Donald Trump? Didn't somebody get shut down? Was it Don Jr. or somebody on CNN that said, you know, I don't think they're, and they just shut them down and ended the interview? So mainstream media, yes. But how many of you are trying to speak on mainstream media? Probably not many of you. So who is impinging your freedom of speech? I'm not going to give the mainstream media passed just yet, because there's certain thing that's important to understand about freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is not just the ability to speak, but the ability to hear. You notice I didn't say to be heard. If I say that my right of freedom of speech requires that I be heard, I'm denying your right to not listen to me. Okay? But I do have the right that my message is heard by those that want to hear it, whether you agree with it or fucking not. So I'll ask you again, who is impeding your speech in America today? Homesteading Heathen says social media does it for the government. Does it matter who they do it for? Does it matter why they do it? Do you think they only do it for the government? Or do you think they do it for all of their advertisers too, Homesteading? Right? Hugs says private companies, and those private companies are who? Those private companies are social media companies. Now, I guarantee you, like Big Sugar and Big Pharma are part of it, but do you use the Pfizer portal for your free speech? Do you expect the American Diabetes Association to publish your keto recipes for you? It'd be nice if they did, but you probably, who's actually doing it is social media companies. So I'm back to what I said in the beginning. If you're bitching about free speech and not being able to be heard and not being able to hear the people you want to hear, and you're not on, you know, even though I think there's just a lot of bullshit there, and honest to God, there's a lot of racism there if you listen to those people, but you don't have to listen to them. Gab, that would be like a platform that you can use. But what about Noster? What about Noster? How many people bitch about free speech on Twitter, on X, but they're not on Noster? Did I say you have to leave X? Did I say you have to leave Facebook? I did not, right? We are in a discussion today about parallel societies. That means this one doesn't have to go away for this one to matter. But we have a big problem with this right now. But a person like, well, I got in there, and you're watching anybody to talk to, and you're watching anybody to listen to, and I didn't find anything interesting. They probably didn't put any effort into it because there's plenty of people there, but they do have a point to a degree. What's the network effect of something like Noster that has about 20,000 truly active users, as in people that post and comment, versus the network effect of something like X with a billion? Well, it's much less. Okay, but how do we make the network effect grow? We have to grow the network. What if you put the effort into your social media in at least one alternative space that you do into whatever your mainstream space is? Now, some of you are like, Jack, I don't really put any effort in it at all. I just get information there occasionally, I make a comment. Well, okay, then do that. Then do that. But you might find that authentic discussion with people is more useful and interesting than curated algorithm-based discussion with people that this company thinks they can make more money by putting them in front of you. Do you know, I'll tell you, X, you know, since Elon took over X, is free speech. No, it's not. Do you know why I'm not on X the last, like, 5 days and won't be until I think Wednesday afternoon. I got PP slapped by X again. Elon's algorithm smacked me down. Do you know why? It's so fucking stupid. Those of you who know who Sean Baker is, Sean Baker is kind of a contemporary to Dr. Barry. Sean is a doctor as well. He's 57 years old. He's about 265 pounds and built like a brick shit house. This dude is incredible as an athlete for his age. Just beefed up, and he's full carnivore. He posted something to the effect of what dietitians say about all this toxic food. Just, you know, just eat, you know, moderation. It's all fine. It's all the same as long as you don't eat too much of any one thing. And I made a comment because I know this dude. We get along. And I said, it's okay, Sean. Just eat a little bit of poison. It'll be fine. X's algorithm flagged it for dangerous speech promoting violence. A sarcastic fucking joke. Now, I appealed it and said it was a joke. Please read it in context. That was my notes that went along with it. I hit submit. 2 seconds later, it said, after a thorough review in 2 seconds, we have determined you did violate Twitter's policy. I don't think there's a person at Twitter or X, whatever the fuck it is, who if they actually looked at it would go, yeah, that's a violation. I think any human with an IQ over like 90 anyway would have said, well, yeah, okay, that was wrong. Sorry. They didn't review it. It was already preset. So how's their free speech there? Now, you know where I wouldn't have a right to bitch about that? If I wasn't using Nostr, if I wasn't running my own independent Telegram channels and groups, if I wasn't on Gab, even though there's a lot of things about it I don't like, if I wasn't using every access tool that I have available to me, or at least some group of them, then I would have no right to bitch about that. If I'm like, all I use is X, I got no reason. And if you're building a business, do you understand how dangerous it is that you build your business on one particular platform where they can shut you off like that? You're literally creating the problem for yourself at that point. So if you want freedom of speech, you have to start acting like you want freedom of speech and taking it back. And guys, we're building some shit with Nostr. Nostr's the future because Nostr's going to be the place. It doesn't matter what app you're using. It doesn't matter who decides they don't like you because it is absolutely the case. You know, I love Primal. And I use Primal right now. Whoever runs Primal, Dorsey's backing it, but it's not his. I'm not sure who runs Primal. Could decide they hate Jack Spirko and just say, we're not going to let Jack Spirko use Primal app. Okay, fine. I'll use No Strudel. I'll use, you know, Domus. I'll use whatever. Or any individual relay could say, we're not going to relay his information. I don't know. I got 30 of them. Fuck off. I don't care. Do you realize how much freedom that gives you? And then, like, they're like, why don't they put a payment network in Facebook? Why don't they put a payment network in X? When Lightning? Like, there's this network right here with some of the biggest Bitcoiners, which means they have money right here. All you got to do is follow some instructions and set it up. And once you set it up, it's no harder. Well, I don't know how to do it because you don't want to. Quit being a little bitch. Quit telling me you can't do something you haven't even actually tried to do or you half-assed tried and it didn't work. If you wanted to do this, this is something I tell young people all the time, especially with mechanical problems, like a nut on the backside of a starter motor is really hard to get started and they can't do that. It's impossible. If I go do it, that's what they wanted. I'll say something like, you know what? Let's pretend that if you get that nut started, or you get that part in, or you get that cut right, or whatever it is, let's pretend if you do that, you eat tonight. And let's pretend if you don't get that done, you go hungry and you don't get food till noon tomorrow. All of a sudden, holy fuck, they can get it done. If they'll take that mental exercise, or, you know, if that's not enough for you, let's pretend that if you don't get that on in the next 30 minutes, you're going to die. Your life depends. You're stuck in a cage and getting that nut is how you get the door open. See if you can do it now. Some bitch, if they don't figure out how to get it done. And there's so many people, they'll talk shit about those young kids like that. They're young and stupid. I tell my grandson all the time, if I ever say, like, you're being dumb or you're young and stupid or something, like, don't be offended. When I was your age, I was stupid too. You're supposed to be. You haven't learned yet. That's how we're helping you learn. So they'll talk shit about that kid who just doesn't know because they ain't learned it. They don't have experience yet. But they won't work and learn the thing to give them what they want. Oh, I grew up in the 80s like you, Jack. I don't understand all this technology. And you're on X? Like I said, if you're not using social media, I'll let this go. But the people that are, by the way, YouTube is social media. You know, and like, Jack, you're on YouTube. Yes, and I'm on Rumble, which is an alternative platform. I don't know anybody that's ever had their shit shut down on Rumble. I'm on Odyssey. You know, I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Twitch. Yes, they're all mainstream, but I've made sure I'm on everything that I can get on. Everything that I can get on. Why? Because if YouTube shuts me down, I haven't lost 16 years worth of work. Oh, and I self-host all my shit too. I will make every effort to make sure I can be heard. Now, obviously, this is something that I am really passionate about because I make my living with it. But it also means you should take my advice, understand it. And I'm telling you, when you have a network with an integrated, private, uncensorable payment network on it, you probably want to be part of it if you claim you care about free speech. Walk you through doing it. It's not that hard. If I can do it, you can do it. I am not technical. This is not what Tom's talking about right now, but this Tom right here, this is Tom the web guy, Tom L, on your freaking screen right here. If you want to make that man laugh, tell him how sophisticated technology-wise Jack Spirico is, and he will laugh until his stomach hurts. He will laugh at you for being dumb enough to believe that I'm that good at technology. None of this is that hard. It's really not. He's had to walk me through a whole bunch of shit. Get somebody to walk you through it if you need it. There you go. Right there. For those on the video only. All right. So now let's talk about educating our children. If you're bitching about the school system and you ain't at least tried to homeschool, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Nicole is lying so hard her nose is gonna grow. It's gonna be she's gonna be Pinocchio for Thanksgiving. She says Jack is the tech wizard. I assure you guys I am not. But no, like, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm trying to fix the system. Good luck with that. Now, don't get me wrong. When they put things into the curriculum that are clearly immoral and wrong, I have tremendous respect. I'm sincere here. For the parents that get involved and get that shit put out, I have tremendous respect for the people that clean out school boards and get them replaced and get things out of schools. But what you're doing, you're running into the antlion nest, and it's only a matter of time before it caves in and the ant eats you. And here's what I mean by that. You can do the best job in the world of clearing all that shit out of the school your kids go to, and it's still in the school next to yours. Or one district over. And it will come back. It will come back, and it will come back faster and stronger every time. It's kind of like trying to kill roaches, but you're just killing them by spraying them. And the one, and, you know, you spray for a while and they're all gone. You think they're gone, but there's a few that survived and they have the genetics to survive that poison. And as they start breeding, they breed super roaches and then you knock them back. But every time they come back, it's worse. That's, and I think Roach, I'm using that on purpose because that's how I feel about school administrators that are doing this shit. But there's an answer, isn't there? There's an answer that says, thou shalt not touch my child's brain. You're done. You're finished. And whether that's true homeschooling or a more organized program like Acellus that we use, you have that option. Well, not everybody can do it. Yeah, but did you see if you could? Did you really try? I'm back to the same thing with the social media shit. Did you really try? I know some people say, my kid doesn't want to do it. And you know what? I respect that. I think one of the biggest problems we have as parents and adults in general is we look at children as only, what I say, young and stupid. And they're only young and stupid in certain ways. Kids are very smart, too. They're little humans is what they are. They're tiny or mid-sized or slightly downsized humans growing up into men and women. And we do need to care about what they want. And we do need to care about their goals and their agenda. And we need to be very careful that we're not saying, oh, they're really good at XYZ and they're going to be great at XYZ. But it's really, we wanted to be good at XYZ and we weren't. And our child happens to be a bit better than we were. And now we're living like, we got to end that shit. So if your kids don't want to do it, I understand. And then what I'll say though is, are you going to all the parent teacher meetings? Are you going to the school board meetings? Are you going to the PTA meetings? Are you reading the curriculum? Are you actually doing everything you can to safeguard your kid and their friends? Because if you're not doing one of these things, I don't believe you. But the number one thing we can do is pull our kids out of the system. And I keep seeing everybody post this shit. All you need to do is get 10 families together and they can hire a former teacher. And why would you do that, first of all? What, you're pulling your kid out of the state system, and the first instinct you have is to hire someone from that system to recreate it in your own backyard. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you say, look, what we want to do is create a homeschool co-op. We don't want nothing to do with state-certified teachers unless they happen to be freedom advocates. We don't care if you have a license to teach. That just means you've learned to do the very thing that we don't want done here. Program and indoctrinate my kid. Why don't we create systems where it's like on any given day, somebody comes in and talks about a subject? You know, like to do the career days and shit. Why can't we have that every week? Why can't we have it once a week? You know, was that 30? There's about 30 weeks a year in a school year. Something like that. Is that right? I think it's 30 because 12 off, right? So 30 times a year in a school year. Somebody comes in and goes, I'm a professional engineer. My name's Sean Mills. I work with solar. This is what I do. This is what this entails. Just that alone, how much better prepared for the real world would your kids be after 10, 12 years of experiencing that? We could be doing this. No, I understand not everybody can homeschool. But if you haven't had a sincere conversation with adults that have kids in your general vicinity about can we work together to do this? If you've not even thrown out feelers and tried it, do you really mean what you're saying when you say this? Do you? No, what you really want is you want the system to bend to your view. And this is the problem with public education. No matter what it does, somebody else will not want their kids doing that, which I believe we have every right to. I mean, I would love it. I would love it if we could go back to teaching like the trivium plus math and history and science. That would be it. Grammar, rhetoric, and logic, true science, true mathematics, and the best truth of history we can find. And basic general overview of history. You put those six things together, and what you've created is a motivated, self-directed individual who can learn anything they want to learn. Not everybody needs math, you know, to the point of like advanced calculus or even advanced stuff. Like up to basic algebra and geometry. Basic. Like shit that's right now taught at like the 10th grade level. That's about as high as the average person would ever need to go to cover their ass. If they want to go further, they'll know if they have the aptitude or not, and they'll have the foundation to do it. But if you can use grammar, rhetoric, and logic, what can't you learn? That's the trivium. Right? Grammar is the ability to read and write correctly and understand what you're reading and writing it in a way where it can be understood. Right? Rhetoric, like my wife is subject to this. So many people think rhetoric's like a bad thing. The media's ruined the word rhetoric. They've gone from empty rhetoric, which actually is a legitimate criticism of things, to just calling everything rhetoric, as though rhetoric itself is bad. Because they wouldn't want you to actually like value rhetoric. Rhetoric's what I'm doing right now. It's the spoken word, command of the spoken word, the ability to speak, to communicate, to debate, and to understand the spoken word back fully and deeply. Because two people can listen to the same lecture. One comes away going, man, I learned so much. And almost, I don't know what the fuck that guy was talking about. Right? So that's rhetoric. And logic, for all the talk of Vulcans and, you know, salutes and whatever, right? Logic is the ability to use what you know to surmise what's most likely true about what you do not know. to say, I don't know the answer to X, but I know this and I know that, and I know how they pertain to X, so the most likely it's to form a hypothesis with a high degree of accuracy as a high level of logic. Or to make a decision based on all of the information you have, but yet a decision still is required of you. If we taught that, what else do we need to teach? Again, like I said, throw some math, science, and history on that, and we're done. We don't need gender studies, right? All this shit that so people are so upset about in school, and they should be, it's the problem is it's not even necessary. There's no world that it's necessary to be talking to an eight-year-old about sex in school or gender in school and telling a little kid that might be confused and having some problems in their life, and who knows what problems they are, can decide you wanted to be a boy instead of a girl or a girl instead of a boy. This should never happen. But if you're not doing something concrete about it and you're bitching about it, I'm sorry again, I don't believe you. How about medicine and nutrition? Medicine and nutrition. Here's an idea. Stop eating their fucking food. Now, I've just talked about in the beginning, though, like we were going to still partake in the mainstream. Well, there's things from the mainstream that aren't garbage food. But there's a big to-do was going on last week. Saw it on several different social media outlets. Some gal went to General Mills and wanted them to stop putting certain things in their products. It was like seed oils and artificial colorings and RGBHT or something like that. I don't remember exactly what. I was like, well, here's an idea. They took like 40,000 or 400,000. So it was a shitload of signatures in a box. And General Mills was like, yeah, whatever. Here's an idea. Don't buy their fucking food. See how easy that is? Like, we want to stop this. Stop buying it first. I bet you there's people that signed that petition and then they poured fucking Cheerios in a bowl or put them in a little bowl and handed them to their toddler for their first food to be a Cheerio, which is just poison for your kid. I'm sorry, it is. If you're upset because you fed it to your kids, you didn't know, but you know now, don't eat their garbage. Type 2 diabetes, 100% reversible illness. 99.9% of the time, to cover my ass, because I'm going to hear from some angry loud typer about how they're some bullshit, which is probably wrong, by the way, but I'll give it to you that there's like a tiny little loophole that you might be in. I doubt it, though. In general, though, type 2 diabetes is an absolute 100% lifestyle illness. If you cut your carbohydrates to 50 grams of carbohydrates or less a day, total, all in, you will cure type 2 diabetes almost all the time within a few months. Period. Now, if you don't have that success, well, you know, if you're damaging your liver by drinking alcohol and you stop damaging, but if you've already like damaged it to the point where you're going to need a liver transplant, stopping won't fix it then. And there's so many things we can do lifestyle-wise to our bodies that way. We can damage things to such a level that they're beyond recuperation. But it's still the best place to start. So there are people who have damaged themselves with type 2 diabetes to such an extent. That person needs carnivore for 6 months in earnest to see if it'll fix it, though. And real carnivore, not fake carnivore. All right. You need to be a zero carbohydrate life for 6 months to see if you can undamage yourself from that situation. But most people, and these people that are bitching about how much their insulin costs and shit, how about you eat good food? How about you take half the money you spend on insulin and spend it on beef? And you won't need insulin anymore in about 90 days for most people. Again, I'm not saying everybody. But for most people. So when you tell me you want freedom in your health and you weigh 350 pounds and you're 5'6" and you're a woman, I don't believe you. Because you have not chosen freedom of your personal health for yourself, let alone freedom of health. Now, you could be ideologically for the concept, like the person that says, I don't want to own a gun, but I don't want to take away anybody's right to own a gun. But that person's not saying they want freedom to own a gun. They're saying they want freedom for people to own guns. If you mean it for yourself, then you should be taking care of your own health. And I think we should be seeking out specialized practitioners. Now, I don't mean, you know, a naturopathic doctor, right? Or somebody that's going to cleanse your aura or some shit. I mean a Dr. Ken Berry. Do you know there's actually mainstream licensed physicians that kind of are operating in this parallel economy? A lot of them are working as, DPCs, direct primary care. They don't take insurance. They only take cash. They have you on a retainer. It's way less expensive than health insurance. And it can work with health insurance, especially high deductible policies. Your lab work costs you less to pay for out of pocket than your share of paying through your insurance. And they'll work with you on a keto or carnivore or paleo or primal diet. That there's actually practitioners that you can work with that will do this, that they see their job not to treat you when you get sick, but to keep you from getting sick, not to show up when you end up in the ER, but to keep you out of the ER. Do you know those people exist? Are you looking for them? Because if you say you want medical freedom and you're using whoever is enlisted in your PPO or whatever, I don't believe that you really do. I don't believe that you really do. Have you educated yourself? Everything you can do to not need a doctor in the first place. How to eat, how to live. Do you have an exercise regimen? When you get up in the morning, do you get active in some way? I'm not saying you got to go to the gym and start pounding shit out or go into your shop and start beating on a heavy bag or whatever. Take a fucking walk. Take a walk. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is put the coffee on. Then I go out. I let the ducks out of the coop. And I walk the property at least twice. I come back in, the water's boiled. Now I can pour it in the French press. But I've done something before, I've had a sip of coffee. Usually I take the dogs with me, especially now that Belle's being a much fully trained now. She really is. Something happened in that second year, boom, the dog brain just kicked in like, oh, I have to be a good citizen now. And so just getting outside, breathing the air, moving around, functioning your functional movement of the body. If you're not doing some of these things, I don't believe you. You have to be educated to what health is, and you have to seek health if you want health freedom. Because the number one way to have health freedom is to not need their system in the first place. Does that mean that everybody who gets cancer or heart disease did so because they didn't take care of themselves? No. But the vast majority that need it did not take care of themselves. Next, above all, you guys tell me if I'm wrong here, but we can drill down into all these things. I think the fundamental freedom that's most lacking in our society today, that most people really want, is simply the freedom to be left alone. If you feel that way, just type yes in the live feed. I want to see how much once the delay gets caught up, how many of those come in. The freedom to be left alone. I honestly feel that the number one thing that drove people's decisions to leave the old world and come to the new world, and you can get all mad about indigenous peoples and whatever bullshit, I don't care right now, right? But I think the number one thing was the freedom to be left alone. To just be able to do something and keep the reward of what you've done. And you decide how it gets spent, with whom. That if you're doing something on your property and you're not bothering anybody else, then nobody bothers you. There's like, they're coming in like crazy, guys. I can't even keep up with them. Yes, yes, yes. That's the number one thing people want. I just want to be left alone. And I'm going to tell you, this is when revolutions happen. When that one fundamental freedom disappears. When people have done all the things that I've said. They've moved out as far as they live in the middle of damn near nowhere. And all they want to do is be left alone. And they're not left alone. And they feel like the society that they're supposed to be a good citizen of is actually attacking them. You know what you get? You push somebody far enough in that situation, fucking killdozer time, baby. A modified Komatsu smashed the whole damn town apart. That's what happens. And what happens when you put an entire society into that mode? We have millions of people that feel that way. It's a very dangerous thing. We're going to have an episode on Wednesday about the probability of collapse You know, I've already got, the guy's a colonel, retired colonel from the U.S. military, that gave his presentation and is going to come on and talk about it. And I've looked through his presentation deck today. And you know what? The highest calculated probability reason for collapse in the United States is right now. Anybody want to guess what it is? Anybody want to guess? You know, is it an asteroid? Is it a chemical weapons attack? Is it nuclear war? It is economic collapse. It is it a pandemic? All those are in there. None of them are the high electric. That's in there too. Electrical grid failure. None of them are the highest probability. You know what the highest probability is? Civil unrest, civil war. Your own government knows it. They know they're pushing people there. When people feel they cannot be left alone, and I'm going to tell you, this is why this election is important. It's less important about who wins. It's more important about the outcome, no matter who wins. We have never had a time where more people truly believed that their way of life was over forever if this other person won. And you have to think about how ridiculous that is. Okay? People are throwing all kinds of nicks at this. It's civil war, guys. That was the number one. So Kamala Harris is an idiot. I concede that. Dumber than a box of rocks. How this woman has a degree in law, I do not know. How she ever passed a bar, I do not know. I heard she never passed the bar, but I don't think you could be a state prosecutor without doing that. But Kamala Harris is part of the current administration that you have right now, and I understand that you're not happy with it, and neither am I. That's kind of why we're having this discussion today. But you're not being rounded up and forced into a sex change right now. Trump, from the other side's perspective, he's going to throw journalists in prison. He's going to declare war against the American people, weaponize the military against the average person, all this shit. And these people believe this fucking shit. Tell SEAL Team 6 to execute his opponents because a Supreme Court justice who's an idiot said he could. As an off comment, by the way, not officially, and is like part of the dissent or anything. And then the media blew that up. But people believe this. But Trump was president from 2016 to 2020, and none of that shit happened. See how stupid this is. You know? You see how stupid this is. But it's there. And you get that on top of the feeling that I cannot just be left alone. And we are ripe for that particular outcome. So I want to talk to you about some good shit here, because this has been pretty much a ass kicking by Jack again, which I didn't actually intend it to be. It just came out that way. Sorry. Anyway, but I had this conversation with Alan Booker while I was at South Reliance Festival. And like I said, I knew this dude was big in permaculture. I knew he was an amazing person from a plant genetics background, really super smart. But I didn't know that he's truly dedicated toward individual sovereignty, which he is. He's deeply involved with relief efforts going on in North Carolina right now. I mean, literally like coordinating with people on the ground and stuff like that, giving me feedback about what's really happening. That's why I was able to tell you some things last week about what's really happening. Well, he's going to come out with, and I don't want to say too much about it because I'm going to have him on the show to talk about it. But he's got an organization he's building right now to directly address this parallel society concept. And it will be a true religious organization model from a standpoint of biblically based. Now, I'm not a true believer, but I still think this is smart. And it has to have these basic tenets of true religion and the Bible in it, or some religion. They're most people in America that are religious are Christian. And there are just some protections that you have operating under that umbrella that you really don't have any other way. And if you really want to understand how strong those protections are and how actually in some ways irrational they are, then I really suggest Leah Remini did like a 3-season or 4-season documentary series on Scientology. Leah Remini was the chick from God, I can't think of the show now. Kevin James was in it. The fat dude that drove the UPS truck. Whatever show that was, she was the wife in it. You know, the one, obviously Kevin married up and above his pay grade type of thing. And she was a lifelong Scientologist. And when she left, she started to speak out against it and they attacked her. So she said, well, fuck that, and just went all the way with this documentary. King of Queens, that's it, yeah. So Lee Remini, she starts bringing these people on and telling their stories about what happened to them up to the point where they tried to leave. And, like, they were caught and brought back into the compound after talking to police. And the cops are like, well, whoops. So I don't want to get into that, right, today about Scientology and Lee Remini. And all. I'm just saying you might want to watch it to understand, like, if a power can be used for evil, a power can be used for good. There is a tremendous shield that happens. And remember what I told you. There is a legal shield, but there's also a mental shield of fucking with churches that you just don't do to a degree. It's not 100%. But what I mean by that is one of the things I learned from Alan is these people that were doing private relief efforts in North Carolina would find a parking lot and talk to the people that own the parking lot. Can we stage here? Yeah, you can stage here. They put up some tents and shit, and they start stacking all their supplies and start figuring out who to hand it out to. A FEMA rolled in and confiscated it all and then didn't hand it out. I'm not kidding. And, well, they figured out that if they put it inside a church or inside like a church hall or something like that, FEMA wouldn't go in there. Like they're fucking vampires or something. They're afraid to go into a house of worship or something. They just wouldn't touch it once it was inside the church. So there is a cocoon that's created with certain legal exemptions from certain things. If you, it doesn't do everything. You can't say, in our church, we believe in meth, so we can cook meth on the altar. And it's no, there's limits. But there's real protections there. And that show I did a few weeks ago about the food church explained that. This is basically the same thing on a much larger scale. What Alan plans to do is create this umbrella. So you build this one first. Think of it like, I don't know, any church. Episcopal, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic. Like, when you open a new church inside the entity that is, you know, Presbyterian or Lutheran, no one questions if you're a church or not. You're an ordained minister of the Lutheran Church? Well, okay. It says Lutheran Church? Okay. You're chartered as a church? Well, okay. So the ability to be modular then. And then so that when somebody wants to set one up, there's a template, but there's also an umbrella already there. No one can say you're not because the government's already said that you are. When Scientology buys a new building and says they're conducting church operations there, as much a scam and a cult as Scientology is, they can't be challenged about it because it's theirs. That's the way he sees doing this, and I think it'll work. He also wants to have – this is where I realized how smart this man is. And I don't want to give away too much of it, but he's talked about things like he's got three lawyers developing all the paperwork for this. Two of them have argued court cases in front of the Supreme Court, so they're members of the Supreme Court bar. These are not some guy you find in the back of the Yellow Pages with a strip mall friggin' office or something. But he wants to do this in a way where he can take his specialty and teach it to people, which is genetics, breeding land races and things like that. So we have open source things so that we can't have Monsanto coming in and buying out all of these seed strains or buying out these specific breeds of animals or stuff like that, or other IPR. Let's say that we develop ways to do indigenous microorganism capture or things that improve soil health or remediate soils and things like that. All of this is extremely valuable. So there are patents that are monetary motivated patents, meaning we're going to patent this so that we can make money off it. And then there's what's known as a protective patent. And a protective patent is exactly what it sounds like. It protects the IPR, the intellectual property rights, from being co-opted. So let's say that we developed a new seed strain. Just it doesn't matter what it is, or a new technology inside this organization. There'd be a nonprofit that actually holds the IPR to that with a patent. But that doesn't mean anybody can use it. But if somebody wants to commercially use it, then they have to pay a license fee. And I'll ask him how that would go. I would think that whoever within there developed it would be credited, or a group of people who developed it collectively should somehow benefit from that license payment. But we're so far from that, we don't even be worried about that. But I never really thought about, what would the value of the IPR be? What would the IPR be worth of a group of several million people like us? Because there's more than several million of us. There's way more. That's one of the lies, that we're rare, that we're not normal. That, like, I'm telling you, we get people together from all over the country. They come to these events, and then people find out they live like 20 miles apart. And they're like, there ain't nobody around me like that. Nicole does it all. Nicole Sauce does it all the time at SRF. We have a much bigger sample size, 500 versus 50. You know, we got 500 people there. She goes, who doesn't think there's anybody like you where you live? And the other hands go up. She goes, okay, where'd you come from? And a person's like, Nebraska, east or west? This is a big state. East Nebraska. Okay, everybody else here from eastern Nebraska, raise your hand. Three hands go up. There's a lot of us. So if you get all of us working together to develop land races and specific breeds and technologies, the collective value of that IPR is billions of dollars. And you know what happens when something becomes worth billions of dollars? It becomes what? A target. So it has to be protected. Not just the right has to be protected, but the right to the technology, the right to the seed, the right to the genetics. Alan's a good guy, and I'll let him talk about more of it when he comes on. We also need an educated community with many roles to fill. And this is where I kind of started off with, you know, everybody wants to do something. And so people learn to do a thing, and then they do that thing, and then they say, I'm selling the thing. And I pick on ConfreySav, and you guys know I love ConfreySav. I've taught you guys how to make it. I've said everybody should grow Comfrey and make their own ConfreySav, but that doesn't leave a lot of room for selling it, does it? Doesn't mean nobody sells it successfully, but people that are going to sell ConfreySav are probably going to sell 20 or 30 or 40 products. They're going to have a line, a product line. They're not going to make a business out of one or two products. That's a very hard thing to do. But even that, like, we only need so many people doing herbal salves and supplements. No shortage of that market. We only need so many people raising beef. Not everybody's going to raise cattle. That's good. But not everybody can raise cattle. We need diversity. We need people raising pigs. We need people raising chickens. We need people producing eggs. But we need people that, like, can design houses. Yeah? We need people who can design houses. We need architects. The problem is you get people doing architectural work in this space, and you get somebody like, what's his name, Mike, whatever his name is behind Earthships, and they take his freaking architectural license away. Well, we need people to do that. We need people that know how to be mechanics and work on cars or farm equipment. We need people that know how to educate. Not everybody's going to homeschool. And even people are going to create different school models may rely on professionals to do some of the teaching. Yeah. We need, just think about everything that you use in your life on an annualized basis. How many places do you go pay somebody to do something for you? And why don't you use a parallel network to do that? And the answer is probably because, well, I needed my oil changed. And if you're like me and you're my age or older, you probably know how to change oil. It's not a function of can I? I have better things to do at my time to change fucking oil. Of course, the price of oil changes at this point. Maybe I should be doing them myself again, right? But the reason you're probably not going to use somebody that's part of a parallel network is there's nobody, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes away from you can drop your car off with for 25, 30 minutes that can change your oil for you that you know of anyway that's part of a network like that. Now, it's not, when we talk about this, you don't usually think about the guy that changes oil. But almost everybody has a car, and every 3,000 to 5,000 to 7,000 miles, depending on what kind of oil you're running or whatever, you need your oil changed. Unless you're doing it yourself, I'll ask you this. If you could get it done by somebody within our community for about the same or less than it costs to go to, like, you know, Insta Oil or whatever, Quick Car or whatever, wouldn't you do it? But it's not there. The problem we have, like I said, with Noster is network effect. There's billions on X and, you know, 20,000 active members on Noster. It takes time to build that network effect. But 20,000 is a lot. It's a good place to start looking for other people. We need engineers. Builders says something about engineers. Engineers are great at designing tight, structured buildings. Architects, right? Architects and engineers actually work hand in hand. And there's a lot of things that engineers do that you go, maybe this engineer ain't never actually put his hands on something before, like that freaking motor for the Cadillac. Whatever engineer did that needs their head freaking smacked. But in the end, most engineers, are there engineers in here? There's one here. His name's Sean Mills, but he's only one man. What about doctors? See what I'm saying? For this to function, you need an extremely diverse group of people from a standpoint of intellect, but also from profession and skill set and the way they want to earn their living. The reason we use the mainstream is you can bitch all you want about government and the state and all of it, and the media and big pharma and all. But what they've done right is there is nothing you cannot get your hands on, assuming you have the money. Nothing. That's why it's so tempting. If you want to build parallel, you've got acupuncturist Amy says, right? The Homo Mechanic says, don't forget to blame accountants for dumb things like that, the caddy engine. Yeah, to a degree. If they can save $10, they'll do it. Accountants, acupuncturists. You know what we need is accountants to help us manage our money instead of accountants to help us pay the government as little money as possible. We don't anywhere need as many. Like, here's the thing. When you start deconstructing the state, don't think it doesn't come without consequences economically. It's still worth doing. Here's what I mean. What would happen to the average accountant if we eliminated the income tax tomorrow? They'd be unemployed. Hypocrisy's guard says we need pimps. We got lots of pimps in society that aren't the kind of pimp you're talking about too, by the way. But yeah, if we got rid of the IRS, there's no IRS, there's no income tax. Let's say we even had a national sales tax. And that national sales tax was administered in a way that, you know, an organization 1/50th the size of the IRS, it probably wouldn't even need that, could do the job. The average accountant would be unemployed. It doesn't mean, and I bet you with this many people in the live feed, there's somebody in there that's an accountant right now. Get ready to type me something angry. Hold on. Give me a second. There are accountants that are incredibly valuable because they do things like when I ran a regular company, could come to me and say, Jack, I know it's June, but I can see right now by our projections, we're going to have a cash shortfall for 2 weeks in November. Here's the bridge over it. That's valuable. Or to come to, I go, hey, we have to make an investment in this thing. And the tax implications are only one part of it. There's 10 other things. And I'll drop that on, you know, an accountant's desk, a CFO's desk, and say, analyze this for me. And as Humble said, like if it's something about a part for a car, you might want to do more than just take the bean counter's number. But there's a purpose to accountants, but we don't need as many of them. Think of how many professions exist to serve the military, industrial, governmental complexes with an S, plural. Think about how many jobs you wouldn't even need if the federal government didn't have its nose in all these different in our parallel economy in great numbers anyway, or not necessarily for that purpose, or we only need them to create that holistic bubble cocoon. In the end, we already have parallel societies. We have tons of them. I started out with the Amish. The Amish are as much a parallel society. In fact, the Amish probably do it better than anybody else right now. And it's because they have something we tend not to. They have structure, unity, and a sense of true community. And I know a lot of you feel like you're really part of a community, and you are, but it's almost all virtual. Amish don't have a virtual community. They have a community. And it's far from perfect. There's plenty of things that would make me never want to be an Amish person, ever. If I had been, I think it's like 16 or 18 or something, the Amish go like to the city for like a month or some shit to see if they really want to stay, I'm going to tell you, I would have left. It doesn't mean I can't recognize what they get right. It is this strength of unity. It is this, I'll help anybody, but if my choice is between helping a stranger or helping someone in my community, and I can only do one right now, I'm helping that person in my community. If Bill's barn needs raising, I'm going to Bill's house to raise a barn. And I ain't worried about what Bill's going to do for me, but I know when I need something, even if Bill can't, somebody will do it for me too. They have structure, and they have unity, and they have a sense of community. We are so loose, and that's why I'm excited about what Alan's doing. I think it might give us a place to kind of hang the hat, so to say, so we can start building this, because until we get not just the sense of community and unity and sense of purpose, but enough diversity to make it work, we're not going to get there. I don't think we actually need people that can do blank. I don't know we have them. I guarantee you, you know, this show will never be that big on YouTube because I'm shadow banned. And because I just think it's a podcast, and it's an OG podcast, right? Like when I started, nobody podcasted on fucking YouTube in 2008. In 2008, when somebody said, well, what do you do? And you said you're a podcaster. The next question was what? What's a podcast? That's how long I've been doing this, right? So I think my audience is, but you know, I get 200,000 people or more download an episode. That's a lot of fucking people. I guarantee you every profession you can come up with's in there. I got everybody. You guys from Quantico, I don't know if you're like doing research or you're actually just listening to learn, but I see your freaking records on the damn weblogs. I know you, FBI. I know you're in there listening. Maybe you're learning. Maybe you're realizing you get on some levels you're with the baddies. I don't know. Maybe you're just trying to figure out what to do about me. I don't know. You've been doing it for 16 years. If you're going to do something, you probably would have done it. So we got everything from FBI agents to colonels in the army to farmers to engineers to mechanics to like child psychologists, teachers, some that really don't like me anymore. But we're all here, aren't we? So we have it. What we don't have is the cohesion. And if we can find that cohesion and we can put as much of a bubble around us as possible, I think we can carve out more freedom and liberty. And this is the thing about that. Things hit what's known as the critical mass stage. And that's like if I go up on a hill and I make a little snowball and I start rolling it in good wet snow till it gets about the size of a basketball and I push that ball down a hill. And it starts rolling and getting bigger and bigger. And let's say it's a big, long hill with a good angle. There's a point for a long time after it goes over that if you were below me and that thing came to you, you could just kick it and knock it apart and stop it cold right there. Done. But there's a point, right? There's a point where that shit will roll right over you, eat you, and take you with it down the hill. And there's a point. If that hill's long enough and that thing gets big enough, you can be in a car and you and the car are going in. That's critical mass. Stay at home moms, Aaron says. You know what? That's something we need some critical mass to, right? When people start to realize there's a better way, they start wanting it too. And if you've learned nothing through the evolution of technology and how people marry themselves to places that they hate, like Facebook, convenience. If you want to bring more, if you want to bring enough people in to get the network effect that I'm talking about, you got to make it convenient. You got to make it easy. You got to do something like our guest from a couple weeks ago with the food church. I just want to buy better food for my family for a reasonable price. Here you go. Here's our way to do business. It's not hard. That's what you need, and we need that in as many walks of life as possible. I'm not going to paint you a rosy picture of this today. because it's not a rosy picture. It's hard work. But I think we're on a cusp where we will do it. And I think we'll do it because we're reaching the point where it's the only real choice that we're going to have. Anyway, with that, before we wrap up, let's go ahead and remind you some ways you can help support this show and the work that we do. We talked about freedom of education today. Well, I have an educational platform called Home Food Systems. Right now at Home Food Systems, I have three courses available for you, and I'm already building the next one on biochar. But the ones I have for you are simplified bioreactor composting. This is how to make the best compost you will ever make and be able to grow the highest quality of food you can possibly think of. Then we have principle-based permaculture design. Now, simplified bioreactor composting course, $40. It's a good deal. Trust me. Everybody that's taken it has been, I've not had a single request for a refund. But the principle-based permaculture design, I guarantee I'll never get a request for a refund on it because it's free. It builds on the work of David Holmgren and Bill Mollison, and it teaches you how to design systems from a permaculture vantage point using principles, because principles are agnostic. They don't care where you live. They don't care what your elevation is, what your soil type is. Principles are 100% universally applicable. And then we just released the Backyard Cover Crop and Soil Secrets class. This is one of the most intensive things I've ever done. It's 12 hours of education for $80. And it will teach you what to plant, when to plant it, how to terminate it, and how to build on what that composting class taught and build the most productive soil that you can. And I know, like many of you, like me, you're more and more moving toward a meat-based diet. Well, you can grow food for yourself, or you can grow the food for the things that you eat, like for your chickens and stuff like that. Good soil makes good product. Good product makes better products out the other end. And again, we have Backyard Biochar coming next. And I may even talk to Alan about possibly doing something on building land race genetics as well. I think that would be a good addition. I've realized as I've been building this out that I will never be able to make it as big as I want it to be with as many options as I want if I try to do everything myself. And so I have to find people that I actually trust to do things the way I would do them. And after listening to Alan talk, I know that I've got a guy. If he's willing, I'm willing to work with him on that. Next up today, I want to remind you guys the other way you can help us out is do your online shopping at tspaz.com. I just got a pricing update from Valor, and they have the worm composter on sale again. It's not as cheap as it was in the middle of summer, but it's still at a very good price. It's on sale today anyway for $69, and then you get that's 22% off the retail, and you get another 5% off on this product if you use my discount code. I've mentioned that I'm not working with Vivor as intensively as I was in the beginning. There's some products that I've reviewed for them that I've ended up with quality issues, and I've taken them down off the website, or I've put disclaimers on them. I think Vivor makes some really great stuff, and I think they make some things that aren't very good too. And so what that's cost me, I just want you guys to know this, basically I don't get any free product from Vivor anymore. I told my rep, if I'm going to take product from you, it's going to be 30 to 40 days after I get it before I put it out for sale. Because until I've used it for that long, I can't confidently tell my people that it's a good product. Because I've had products that worked initially out of the box beautifully, and then I'm having problems. And so this is one of those that's not going to have a problem. It's molded plastic for worms to live in. And it's also a clone of the best-selling worm bin out there for a significantly lower price. And if you read the write-up, you'll see what I mean by that. But if you want to make really great compost, teaming with worms is a great way to go. So check that out. Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. I hope it made you think. And I hope this is what I wanted to get out of this episode. I didn't want to kill the idea of parallel economy or parallel society for you. I didn't want to kill it. But I don't want it to be an excuse for inaction. I don't want it to be a thing that, since this is coming someday, I don't really have to worry. When it comes, I'll be part of it. If you're really going to be part of it, you need to be part of it now in whatever little ways that you can. You need to claw for every opening you can get. And I want you to start thinking about your personal freedom and your personal liberty a little differently. I want you to think about a hill and you get a flood. And the hill's acting like a dam, and there's a little dimple in the hill. And the water's going now over that dimple, and the water's not quite high enough to totally blow it out initially. But as that water starts flowing out that little dimple, that dimple starts getting deeper, and a V starts to form. And it starts eroding that landmass around it. And the next thing you know, it's a deluge. And that little drip in the beginning was enough to carve out this massive cavern and create all this damage to the land and blow it out from the power of water. The human spirit's a hell of a lot stronger than water. It really is. Water is a massive force, but the human spirit can reshape a planet. So maybe as strong as water, because water can reshape a planet too. But we have that much power. But you have to claw away little bits of your liberty at a time, little bits of freedom at a time. Like a prisoner with a little pick. Like what was that, Shawshank Redemption? You have to keep working. And every day you work in that movie, like he'd carry out like a handful so it didn't build up on the floor, like a pocket full at a time, and dump it in the yard. And you know, if you were doing that for a couple weeks, even it doesn't look like you've really done anything, but if you keep doing it, next thing you know, and the bigger the hole gets, the easier it becomes to enlarge the hole until you can fit through it. And so if you hold out hope of these parallel economies and these parallel societies, if you're a complete realist and you're like, we're never going to 100% get there in my lifetime, I'm doing this for my kids, my grandkids, my great grandkids, that I'll never even know their names, you still have to be working on that little hole. You got to get that start. You got to get that build up. Anyway, guys, with that, take care. Hope you enjoyed today's show. I'll catch you tomorrow with another one.
They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way. Revolution.